Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF. Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. You know we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In this episode, we dive deep into the topic of selfishness addiction with Stephen Cervantes. So we chat about how this type of addiction can really mess with our relationships and personal growth. You know, we laugh about being first in line for lunch at our Gateway to Freedom intensives, but then we do get serious about the underlying fears and wounds that drive us to put ourselves first all the time. It's really a raw and real conversation that ends with a powerful moment of self-realization for one man in particular who's ready to shift from just coping to truly living. So join us as we explore the journey from selfishness to selflessness and how we can find true freedom and joy in giving rather than just receiving. This really is an eye-opening talk that might just change the way you see your own behaviors. For resources to help you take your next step toward wholeness in Christ, visit bebroken.org or check out links in today's show notes. And of course, friends, we always love it if you would rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now let's go ahead and dive into today's conversation on freedom. All right, Mr. Stephen Cervantes.
Yes.
How are you today?
Present, sitting up straight in my chair, ready for school to begin.
The professor is ready to go. So I was told last year, you know, with my, I had gotten some new glasses and sort of with my beard and everything, somebody said I look very professorial.
There you go.
So I don't know.
That's good.
Like, anything that makes me look smarter, I'm happy. So, all right, Stephen. So, you know, a lot of guys come to us, come to this ministry, and
yes,
they are bound up. They're bound up in something like a porn addiction or some other kind of unwanted sexual behavior, and they say, "Man, I want to get free from that. Right? I want to be free from that."
Hmm.
So we're going to talk today about freedom, but freedom from maybe something that's underneath the actual behavioral problem, right?
Okay.
Maybe looking at something that could be driving some of those things. And how would you, first of all, how would you even describe freedom? Because a lot of guys ask for that, right? They're looking for that.
Yeah, I don't. I say peace, rest, and joy.
Why do you say that versus freedom?
Because that's what Jesus said, you know, come to me all you are weary and I'll give you rest and peace and joy of the Lord. Those are the things that I think we're really designed to run on. And we have to bring our program to the point.
Because what do you think some people think of when they think of freedom in relationship to an addiction?
Well, freedom versus stuck versus trapped, right? Repetitive life that does not satisfy. And I'm getting worse and worse and worse, right? And so freedom makes sense in relationship to that.
Yeah.
And I'm answering the question of, what's your soul supposed to run on?
Yeah, I kind of think of it this way. I think a lot of times the way guys are thinking initially about freedom when they're thinking about addiction is freedom means I'm not doing this thing anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think what we're going to be trying to talk about is, but what does freedom mean in terms of what you are made for?
Yeah.
And so there's the freedom from, which yes. I want to be unbound by these things. But then there's also, well, you're free. There's freedom for, like, you're made for a purpose. Yeah. You're made for peace, love, and or peace, you know, rest, and joy.
Amen. So, a little bit of a framework, and I really don't have a great framework, but the simple intro for this is: there's me, there's you, and there's us.
Okay.
And And we're always bouncing between what do I need right now? What do you need? What do we need? Mm-hmm. And then, like when we go on a trip, what do you want to do when you go sightseeing? What do I want to do on our vacation? What do they, the kids, want to do or come? Right. So we're always going, and healthy people are always flowing through a sense of, I might as well think about me and how I'm doing what I want right now. I want to go eat. Well, I'll go check with you. So it's a me, it's a you, and it's an us, okay, or a we. But I was talking to this Christian brother. He'd been to a retreat. I think it was when you did, because you do this thing, yeah, you know? If you've never been, you don't know.
Yeah,
if you're a gateway guy right now and you're all laughing and hooting because you know Jonathan does this.
Okay, for those who are not watching the video, basically I put one hand with all my fingers together into the palm of my other hand to kind of indicate this is a person, the center.
Oh,
you're
good.
Kind of
I forgot some are auditory listeners. I'm doing this great reenactment of Jonathan.
If you want to see it, you got to watch the video.
But it's like, put your finger in the middle of your hand and say, me, 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 right? Everybody else revolves around me. I'm the important one. It's just me. So this guy says to me, I came away from that retreat with this insight about myself. And he said, I think I have a selfishness addiction.
I like that.
I like that wording, don't you? A selfishness addiction. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love good language. I love clean language. And I love when language is so clear, everybody goes, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
Selfishness to the point of an addiction. Can't stop myself, out of control, do it first, do it fast, do it last. You know, selfishness, the self. And then that, now I had asked him to define it, and he does. But I thought to myself, selfishness is about me. And why do we have to do me and a lot of me? And make it about me and point it to me. And I was thinking, probably to survive, if you were growing up and it was never about you, you're always trying to make it about you. Or when it's me and somebody's paying attention to me, I feel valued. Mm-hmm. When it's about me. I don't feel ignored when it's about me. And if somebody's looking and asking me what I need, or when I'm telling someone what I need and it's about me. I mean, me is really important to living life. But remember, it's me, it's you, it's us, it's God. I better add him in here. Right? It's me, it's you, it's us, it's God. But what if you get stuck on the me part? Something happened. It's like, I have to consume. It's about me.
And that's what I think is important in just defining the term selfish. Because sometimes is well-meaning Christians, I think, have taken that to the degree to where a person might start to wonder, am I being selfish if I just think about myself?
Yes.
Like I'm you mentioned earlier, let's say you go on a trip and you're wanting to go out to eat. Sometimes if you've been pounded into your brain so much, this idea that any focus on yourself is selfish, then you might not be willing to speak up and tell where you would like to go to eat.
Yeah.
Because that's selfish, Stephen.
Right. That's good.
Instead of like, well, I have an opinion. I have an idea. I'm part of the me, you, and us, right? Yeah. So I think it's important that we clarify the definition of selfish. And the way that I think of selfish is, and really, you could kind of put this in the overall kind of camp of idolatry, is the idea of when I am thinking of myself to the point where it's all about me and it's all for me and it's only pointed in my direction, then I think I've entered into the camp of selfish.
Okay.
But to simply have
all about
care for yourself, concern for yourself, thoughts about yourself, all of those things I think are healthy and needed. I mean, we need to have a self-awareness, right?
Yeah.
But when we start to, again, that little thing that I do with the hand, when we say it's me in the center and everything must revolve around me, then I think that's selfish. One of the things I was going to say in terms of the motivation that you put down for selfish, or, you know, the self, is I think sometimes, like, my own selfishness can be driven by fear.
Yes.
And therefore, the outcome is I want to take control.
Okay.
Because I, you know, I'm afraid that if I let control go, things are going to go off the rails, or you may not do it right or whatever. Yeah. And so fear can be a driver for selfishness too.
Well, and back to your point earlier, selfishness versus self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are trying to do self-care, and somebody else will say, oh, you're just being selfish. Oh, it's all about you, right? Everything's about you. It's like, no, there's a healthy balance between I am a human being, I have wants and needs, and God loves me just the way I am. And, you know, I always have this comment. I get up in the morning, I brush my teeth. I don't brush your teeth, I brush my teeth. Is that selfish?
Yeah, please,
I brush my teeth.
I'm glad you don't brush my teeth.
But it's like people go, well, why are you thinking about self? Well, you know what? I'm going to clean this body, and I'm going to put clothes on this body, not that body. I have to go feed and take my vitamins for this body.
And I think it's very important to remember, you know, even when Jesus was teaching us what is the greatest commandment, like what is top of mind for what God wants us to be about, and he says, it's love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is like it, or you could even translate, the second is the same as it. Love your neighbor how?
As you love yourself.
As yourself.
Yes.
So there's a sense in which, even from God's perspective, says, you know what, you don't even have the capacity or the competence to love your neighbor if you're not taking care of yourself.
Oh, that's true.
You have to have something to give. And so, therefore, you need to be healthy. You need to have healthy self-care in order to love your neighbor well.
That's good. So when he says, I have a selfishness addiction, he got my attention.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And my mind wants to spin off and make up all these definitions. I said, hold on, slow down, big boy. Let's let the man define the term. And so I said, okay, what is a selfishness addiction? And he said, I just think about me. I just think about me. I see the world through my eyes. I think about me. Now, I'm going to go slow because we're going to break these down, because you could say 10 other things and what that means. But the focus is me. I think about me in the morning. I think about me at lunch, at supper. I'm thinking about me. I just think about me a lot.
Yeah, and I think the kind of the way I would interpret this is again thinking about the fact that you can have thoughts about yourself that aren't selfish. The way I take this is he's thinking, in every circumstance and in every situation, I'm really only thinking about me. So Stephen, okay, we're going to go out to lunch. You can tell me your opinion, but I'm really only thinking about what I want to eat.
I'm
not really trying to think about what you actually want. I might be polite and say, hey, Stephen, where do you want to go? But in the end, I'm going to probably try to manipulate and control where we're going to go because I'm only thinking about me.
Right. And then you're going to devalue. Well, you know, it's crowded there. And it's pricey. You know, their drinks are a little flat. So number two, and this lists about 10 things, and they all overlap, and they're so subtle. But I wanted him to tell me all the little subtleties so I'll know what a selfishness addiction is. And you already said it. I focus first on me, and then I focused on what I wanted. Well, what did I want? Well, that was a good example, right? Well, where do I want to go eat? How do I want to spend my money? What do I want to do with my time? What do I want? And I think it's, remember, to me, you, others, it's like, me, what do I want? And okay, now I know how the day should go. It's what I wanted. Any thoughts?
Yeah, again, I think this is one of those things where it's the focus is, I focused only on what I wanted. In other words, it's like it, even if you're listening to other people's opinions and their desires, it's always got to come back to, but really at the end of the day, it has to be only what I want. that gets done.
Next, he said, I've lived to make myself happy. This is a selfishness addiction. So I've lived, past tense, present tense, I've lived, I will live. I live for my own happiness.
You know, to me, this is a strong value statement, right? What this guy's basically saying is my goal actually in life is to be happy. Right?
Yeah.
And think about, again, one thing I think will come out as we're just kind of going through this is when you think about selfishness addiction or you just think about selfishness in general, is it's a very immature way of thinking and living.
Yeah.
Because let's think about, Stephen, just the natural order in which God created things. He created Adam, right? And then he said, it's not good for man to be alone. Guess what is the highlight of selfishness? Alone thinking. It's alone. All about me. So what did God say? It's not good for man to be alone. What did he do? He said he makes a helper to fit him. And then what did that create? The first marriage. And then what comes from that? Children. There's all these relational components that are part of the natural order. What happens with every single one of those relationships? Are you intended to become more selfish?
Oh, right.
Or more selfless?
Yeah.
Right? Because what happens when you get married? The two become one. And there's this mutuality of sharing and sacrifice. And then what happens when kids come along?
Right.
You better learn to sacrifice, right? So there's a sense in which selfishness is outside of the natural order that God created for us to actually learn how to be more and more selfless while still caring for the self, but not making it all about the self, right?
Yes.
So when I see that happiness thing, I'm going, that's a value statement of a guy that says, I want to stay 10 years old and life all about me and me just to be happy and eat candy all day and feel good. Right.
But that was good. Immature, and I would say wounded. Mm. Something happened that his system can't adjust. He got wounded and he stays in this immature state. Because here's the next line. I take care of me. When the day starts, I take care of me. When the day ends, I take care of me. Mm. I got to take care of me. What's wrong with that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because you could, a lot of these statements we could go through and we could say there is a component of this that can be healthy.
Right.
But then there's the selfishness part that is saying when I hear again, I took care of me, it's like, and I'm only taking care of me.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, I'm going to probably use other people to make sure that I'm taken care of. Right? Rather than I'm taking care of me in a healthy way so I can now love my neighbor from a position of health rather than depletion.
And there's probably too many I's in here, and there's probably too many me's in here.
But that's selfish, right?
But listen to the next one. I satisfy me.
Yeah.
When I get up in the morning, I make sure I'm satisfied. At noon, I make sure I'm satisfied. So when I go to bed, I make sure I'm satisfied.
Now, I find this extremely ironic and even paradoxical because the more selfish we become, the less satisfied we actually are.
Yeah.
Because what did Jesus say? It's better to give than to receive. It's good to receive. I mean, there's a goodness. But in terms of the real joy, you talk about joy, peace, rest, all that. Yes. It really comes through when you learn how to give.
Amen. So that's what he did. All this me. And then he went into this little shift. He said, and I do it first.
Hmm.
First in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah. I do it first. I make sure I'm first. We have this little joke that happens on our retreat. Jonathan at lunchtime and I go to the front of the line, you know, and then we remind each other, first will be last and the last will be first. We never get out of line and we get harassed by the people who serve us food. Why are you guys here? Why aren't you servants at the back of the line? It's like, hey, shut up and feed me, will you? I've been working. But, you know, and so
we're showing the guys where the line starts.
You know, we make up all these excuses. But it's kind of funny because I want to eat, and I'm hungry, and I'm going to go to the front of the line. Everybody's milling around, and then Jonathan joins in. He and I are always at the first of the line. I don't know why that popped in my head, but I don't mind being last.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fun sometimes, and I do think it's healthy that you could be at the front of the line, or you could be at the back of the line. You could be in the middle of the line,
mm-hmm.
right? But he says, I do it first. I have to be first. It's me first. First is one of my big words.
And you know what? It's interesting because that particular line out of all of these really, I would be curious if I was sitting with this guy. I'd want to dig into that more because it's almost guaranteed there is a wound behind that.
Oh, to like, take care of me.
Like there's first. Maybe a shame lie or something like, hey, you know, there was that one time that I got a B on the report card. And my dad laid into me, and I had all A's except for that one B. You know, there's a sense in which I have to be first. You know, I just almost wonder if there's a wound underneath that.
Yeah, shame you could put best. Yeah. I have to be best, right? I have to go get it and bring it home. I have to, yeah. So he said, I have to be first. And he said, and I do it fast. I mean, there's no wondering, mystery, rambling. What choices, freedom? No, I do it first. Then he said, I think about me fast. Mm-hmm. So, anything else?
No, go ahead.
And I did it completely, or I do it. Let me put it in present. I do it completely. Think about me, make sure I'm satisfied. I make sure my needs are met. I'm fulfilled. I do it first. I do it fast. And I see what it's doing to my family, my wife. I see how unsaid. It's like the guys woke up and he can see beyond me.
But you know what's interesting? I can see how just those three, I do it first, I do it fast, I do it completely, could get a lot of praise in the work world.
Mm.
Man, look at that great producer over there. Man, I mean, he really just, you don't have to micromanage him. He gets it done first. He's fast, and he always does it to, you know, the very end. So there's a sense in which certain environments can almost exacerbate or even encourage selfishness, where it's like, hey, in one context, this seems to work great, you know, but in a social, in a relational context, it's like, no, this is very unhealthy.
So if you just tuned in, we're talking about a guy that admitted he had a selfishness addiction. He realized, man, I've been full of self. Excuse me. He said, everyone else in my life is in second place. Wherever I go, whatever I do, just know you're going to be in second place because I'm in first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, that's one of those things where, selfishness and humility are oil and water, right? Mm. They don't mix. So if you're living in such a way that says, I have to be first, I will be first. Where does that put everybody else? They have to be second or worse. And so there's not a sense in which you're able to grow in humility. So even acts, quote unquote, acts of service from this guy would likely have an ulterior motive.
Oh, right.
Like I may do something for you, but I'm looking for a return for that. I'm manipulating a response out of that. So ultimately, I still get what I want.
Mm-hmm. A couple more. I saw life through the eyes of self. Or selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what my eyes saw. First, fast, completely, make me happy. What do I want? My eyes were set up through the eyes of self.
Mm-hmm.
And you can comment on it.
Well, and then the next one he talks about is that selfishness is how he coped and survived.
Yes.
Now, I think this is both insightful as well as sad.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, I think the insightful part is that he's saying, you know what? I see that I was trying to survive.
Yes, it's a survival mechanism. Make sure you get yours. Get yours. Take yours.
But my method was not good or wise, right?
So just coping. Just always coping.
And I just want to say a little thing here for those of you who maybe you're further down the road in your recovery. Maybe you're even doing some help for others where you're leading a group or you're trying to mentor another guy in recovery or something like that. When you hear something like this, I think it's important first to pause and give a little bit of praise. Now, that may sound counterintuitive. Mm. But when you hear somebody say, selfishness is how I coped and survived, it's very easy to overly focus on the selfishness part.
Right.
And not commend the guy for sitting in front of you and he's alive. He survived. He's made it this far in his life. And we can always deal with the immaturity of selfishness, and that's what we're talking about here. This guy was having a conversation and being able to pour out, this is how I've coped to this point in my life, is through selfishness. I think it's good to first say, brother, you are here.
Oh, yes. Affirm
you
him.
You survived.
Yes.
You are alive. You're looking at me right now, and I just want to say, good job. You know, let's not bring shame into the conversation. Yeah, he's admitting, I got a selfishness addiction. So even that deserves a little bit of praise. It's like you're showing insight there. But I just wanted to say that as a little comment, because
sometimes
we can almost bring unnecessary just shame and guilt into these things.
And this guy's not a happy guy.
No.
No, he's tired. He's worn out. He's been way too self or greedy.
He's not defiantly saying these things. No. He's saying this in an attitude of confession.
Then he closed by saying, I've done this all my life, and I've done it very well, but it never took me where I wanted to go. It's always coping, surviving. I want to live now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wants peace, rest, and joy.
Amen.
Right? He wants freedom. That's really what we're talking about. How do we get free? And this is a guy that's saying, I'm realizing that what my true addiction has been is selfishness.
Yes. I love that. Because if you think about anybody with a porn addiction, that's really their solution.
Right.
That's not the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem that you need to escape from, right, and get lost in? So, man, after this guy said it, I was like speechless. I love it when I hear something new and insightful and honest and deep. It's like, whoa, this is raw. It's real, but there's so much humility here. And remember what I said. If you can define a problem correctly, you're 50% free because you know you're not lost. See, this is full of lostness, but at the end, he's not lost. He put a little label on it.
Yeah.
He called it, I have a selfishness addiction. Oh my goodness, now I know where to go. Not more selfishness, step towards giving, a step towards other, submitting my little device at the foot of the cross, at praying for me to have eyes to see the other, my wife, the others around, right? I mean, small steps. And it was fun to hear it because you kind of know people that have a lot of this.
Yeah.
And he was claiming himself as the master because he was defining this term that I'd never heard before. You ever heard anybody say I have a selfishness addiction?
No. I mean, we talk about selfishness, but not in those terms. Yeah.
No, right. So, I mean, this guy kind of owns this territory, and he's coming clean. He's being vulnerable. You can hear the pain and sadness, you know, and the desperation. And when it's almost like a light bulb moment with God. Mm-hmm. Well, you're too selfish, and it's not a habit. It's not a routine. It's not a practice. It's gone way down to the end. It's an addiction. You can't stop it.
Well, and as we have a couple minutes left here, you know, I'm sure we have plenty of listeners that are going, I can identify with this guy. I mean, if I'm really honest with myself, all those statements that you were saying, boy, I've aligned my life in that way. So what is, you know, step one for being able to come out of this? Because this is one of the things, by the way, guys, that we deal with throughout the entire Gateway to Freedom weekend. We're really talking about shifting the paradigm. Because when I give this little symbol of, you know, me in the center and everything revolving around me, I say that is what is at the foundation of whatever the eventual unwanted sexual behavior addiction is. So we have to deal with this self-focus. And so we've got to shift that paradigm. I mean, my simple answer, even though it takes a lifetime to work this out, is that it depends on who's in the center. Like, who's meant to be in the center? We were made by God that he is to be the one that our lives are revolving around. Yeah. And when he is the center, guess what happens to you, me, and us? There's a harmony that can happen there, right? I can have a harmonious relationship with me because I can have a self-care for, I can love my neighbor as myself because I have healthy self-care.
Yeah.
I can have harmony with you because now I'm knowing, how do I relate with this other person? All the one another's in the New Testament, right? Love one another, bear one another's burdens, pray for one another. And then us, what does community look like? I'm to go serve, and I'm to go be a servant to others.
That's good.
So how would you maybe?
No, I wouldn't do it. One other thing, I think it's perfect. I said earlier, take a small step, think about others, do little things to move forward.
Yeah.
Don't do a big thing. Do lots of little things.
I think another thing that's really, really important to this is, because selfishness is, again, so pulling inward, is a very, very practical thing that I believe you must do, is you've got to get into community. It's fundamentally different, right? I mean, selfishness is about me pulling more and more of myself out of the world and saying, I'm going to be, and it's all about me. You've got to put yourself into authentic community.
Is this like a new insight? I sort of hear this a little bit more and more, the value of community.
Oh, it's not a new insight. I mean, it's definitely, it's been there from the very beginning of our
ministry.
But
has it become more pronounced, or are you saying no?
I think we have to define it better, because unfortunately, you know, people don't understand that term sometimes. When I say community, I mean, you've got to be honest and open about your struggle in your life. Authentic community
with others. That's community. Anybody that's an other is community, right?
Well, and I try to define it even more narrowly than that, because in our space, when we're talking about recovery ministry, it means you got to go beyond the sports, politics, and weather conversation.
Right.
Because a lot of people talk about community groups, and it's kind of like, even in churches, you know, we got a Bible study going on. Nobody shares about their lives.
No, it could be very shallow. You know? I mean, you learn a lot of things, but if people...
So when I say community in our context of ministry, I'm talking about, hey, raw and real. You know, you even mentioned here, this guy was raw, real, and painfully honest.
Yeah.
That may be a great way to describe authentic community if you're wanting to
recover
from your selfishness addiction.
Okay. Let me do my plug at the end. If you want to read some thoughts, go to drmarriage.org. I produce a thought a day to help couples go back and forth and, you know, have something to share, bring fresh ideas. Agree or disagree, dialogue. The goal is oneness.
Yeah. Well, listeners, thank you for being with us. We want to help you take your next best step to wholeness in Christ. So please reach out to us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Amen.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.